Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Give it to him. This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe. Well, I'm holding on.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. You know who's not fine? Hayden. He's not here.
Can't wait to hear the excuses.
Maybe he'll stroll in here in a bit. Who knows? We got the podcast recording. We're doing his jobs. Don't worry. How are we today? Thumbs down from Hayden. Cameron, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Coming off another Hawks win. It's just,
it's true.
It makes it easy for me to do good when you have such a good team. You know, even without your best players, you still go out and get the job done.
That's, I didn't want to lead the show with them.
I didn't either.
It's more of a, you know, a little bit later in the show. It is big news though. I mean, the NBA race is heating up. The playoffs are close. I'm getting the fever. I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking that yesterday. It was in the gym, not to brag, but while I was on the doing my cardio,
yep,
on the old step machine, you know, getting the legs really burning.
Can't skip, mm-hmm, leg day.
Which, by the way, my thighs are feeling nice and tight. Feeling nice, ooh, and tight.
That's good.
Feeling there nice and tight.
Good feeling, huh?
I was thinking, man, I'm ready for the NBA playoffs. There's going to be some good matches. Yeah. I'm ready for a stretch run. You know, we got, what, like basically 17 games, give or take, for most of these teams?
Yeah, absolutely. It's getting close.
Most teams are through the 55, 54-game mark. We're down to the 17, 18 games remaining. The East is still pretty wide open. You know, there's a tie atop the standings for the one seed, the Sixers and the Nets,
mm-hmm,
locked in, deadlocked. In the West, the Suns 1.5 games back from the Jazz. That's a pretty important race for the one seed. You got the Clippers who are all of a sudden balling. Like Paul, yeah, George is. Yeah. Kind of gotten back to that one year where he was like third in MVP voting. He's been really, really good lately. The Clippers have won 6 in a row in the East. The Hawks keep winning. They're 4 games back from the Bucks who are without Giannis. So, you know, they might be able to track them down. They play on Thursday. You got the Celtics. I know Celtics fans. Brandon popped that chest out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
On the way out, he's no longer hiding his face in shame as he walks out. For a while, he wouldn't make eye contact with you when they were down at the 8 seed, you know. But he said, hey, we're coming. Four wins in a row. They're only a game back of the 4 seed. They might end, mm-hmm, up with home court advantage if they can catch the Hawks. Yeah. You got the Heat trying to find their way. The Hornets and Knicks trying to desperately hold on to a playoff spot. Or at least a 7-8 spot. You got the Lakers trying to piece together every win they can to kind of stay above the play-in game.
Yep.
Trying to hold off the Mavericks, who they have to play twice, I think, in the next 10 days.
Ooh.
Maybe without LeBron and AD. It's like, that's a pretty big swing if you're the Mavericks and you're Luka and you're Mark Cuban and you're scared of the play-in game and you're crying, you want to get out of it. That's a pretty big upcoming 10-day stretch for the Mavericks, who I believe, at least before yesterday's action, had the easiest schedule remaining in the league. So, like, if you're the Mavericks, you're like, hey, we can get out of the 7 seed.
I mean, do we even expect LeBron, AD to play before the playoffs?
I do.
Just maybe to even... Maybe like the last 5 games, just have a little,
yeah,
little rhythm going.
I would say that, yeah, would be it. I would expect them to come play and try to get. You want to get the rust off, especially. I mean, if the Lakers come in as a, you know, a 5 or 6 seed, you're going to want to have the rust off because you're going to hit the ground running a little bit.
Yeah.
Although that Nuggets team looks a little bit more beatable now that Jamal Murray's out.
Yeah,
that drops a lot of their chances. Tonight, though, is a big game. Like, now we're getting to the games where they're big, they matter. You know, Sunday's Hawks-Hornets game. That felt big, at least for us. And, you know, mm-hmm. our Grizzlies friends playing Dallas tonight. As you know, as the Grizzlies are trying to, you know, climb out of that 8 seed, they can catch Dallas. You know, they'll only be a half game back of the 7 if they win tonight. Or if they lose, you know, the Spurs are going to be on their heels. As, you know, they might fall out of that 8 seed and be a 9 seed. So, games are starting to feel vital and important. Last night's action, it felt significant. You had some playoff feels for a couple of these games. Like that Celtics-Blazers game was fun.
What about Brad Stevens a little scheming it up at the end? Missing the free throw on purpose? They a little trap on D-Lil at the end? How about it?
It also helps when Tatum just hits a beautiful step-back jumper.
Yeah,
to put him up four. There wasn't much scheming of that. It was just like, hey, get the ball to Tatum at the top of the key. He's good to hit the step back. And Tatum's been awesome. You know, Tatum is somebody that might be a case study in a couple years when you look and see the effects of COVID.
Oh, yeah. The inhaler. That's.
Well, I mean, he talked about it, too. Like, he's been pretty vocal. Like, hey, like, I don't feel right. I'm not 100% yet.
And it's been a while since he contracted it.
Even last night, he's like, hey, I'm close to 100%. He's like, he still doesn't feel back to normal. But we've been, you know, criticizing, and I'll be honest, you know, I've been leading the charge, at least here, I mean, about the Celtics being frauds and, you know, the things they've done wrong and needing to change. But, you know, Tam's like, hey, I'm not healthy. COVID. And I will say, it looks like he's getting healthy because his last, you know, four games, he's had 25 points in a win, 53, 28, and 32. He's been playing really well, really the entire month of April. And last night, outdueled Dame Lillard as the Celtics picked up a big win. That felt like a big game.
On the road, too.
On the road, too. Yeah, like I said, they've won four in a row. That's the longest streak in the East, and they are now only a game back of the 4 seed. And if you're the Celtics, it hasn't been a fun season, but if you could come out and, you know, be a 4 seed and still get a home court advantage, you'd feel pretty good about it. Now, again, they're chasing the Hawks, who, I mean, don't show any signs of slowing down. Now 16-5, Draven, under Nate McMillan, coach of the year.
And players are going to start coming back in the next couple weeks.
And eventually the Calvary will return. Although I just keep saying, as long as Clint Capella's playing, the Hawks are going to win. 19 points,
yeah,
21 rebounds last night.
He's a monster.
Bogdanovich again, filling it up. Hey, new record for Aiden. 8 minutes late today.
Woo-hoo!
12:08.
Yeah.
How low can you go? How low can you go?
How you doing, Aiden?
Pretty bad, Draven. Did you get the text I sent you?
I have not looked at my phone. I've been busy. Been doing a radio show.
Oh, I sent it before the show started.
Scrambling around. Really was arguing with Brandon and Rick. Because Rick, it's something about you Dallas boys. Always making excuses. Either the Cowboys or the Mavericks. Always making excuses. It'd be nice to play in the East. Again, I'm telling you, the East ain't that much worse than the West.
And I wish we played in the West. We got a good record against the West. Yeah, give me the Rockets 3 times a year, please.
Although last night was, you know, the Heat let me down in terms of that argument. It was nice to see them lose again. But
got smoked.
You know, they came out early against that Suns team. You're like, okay, maybe the Heat are rounding into shape. And then, nope. Suns are like, nope, we're coming for that 1 seed. And, yeah, just beat them down. Beat them by 20. Suns are good. Jazz are good. That race for the 1 seed will be fun. Like I said, we're basically a month away from the Thursday. We're 5 weeks away from today's Thursday or Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah. I've got my days all
mixed up. My days are mixed up,
I would have bet on anything if today was Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Basically 5 weeks away from the play-in game. So we're hitting this stretch. Last night felt like some playoffs. We'll talk more NBA throughout the show, but the story of the day, I think, is for Tennessee basketball.
Yeah.
Landed them a recruit. Pretty big recruit, too.
Mm-hmm.
Both in ranking and in stature. We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Tennessee basketball. Gets them a big man. Gets them a big recruit.
That's all Rick Barnes says he needed.
I don't know if this is going to be the guy you want to dump the ball down into the post. I don't know if that's his style of play. It doesn't look like he would be that type of player. I mean, he's not like a thick man. He doesn't look like a post player, but he looks like a guy that's going to be able to block some shots and affect the rim and catch and dunk.
Ooh.
As Tennessee lands 4-star center Jonas Adu. He was at one time a Marquette commitment. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina. You would think this would be the addition of Justin Gainey, the assistant coach that Tennessee hired from Marquette. You would think this would be him paying immediate dividends.
You would hope so, and that would be awesome.
Smart play by Rick, huh? Get the assistant, bring the player over too. I like it.
Big brain play.
Uh-huh.
This is the fourth commitment for Tennessee in this class. Obviously, you got Chandler. He is the superstar in the making, hopefully, of this class. Mm-hmm. You got Jamon Meshack. That guy's over. That's the California kid, right? I mean, he's California.
Yeah, four-star wing, yeah. California.
Top, like, 50-ish player?
Yeah, I think he's like 40-something.
That's what I thought. And then the guy we don't know much about, Quentin Dibounjé. That's the French guy from the Mount Verde, like, international program.
Yep.
So Tennessee, this makes their fourth commitment of high school players. Keep in mind they also grabbed themselves a transfer. Justin Powell from Auburn. He's probably the guy I'm second most excited to see behind Chandler. I'm excited for the Justin Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Complete roster makeover. Russell Smith, you know him from the drive, says that keep an eye on Huntley Hatfield and Tamba. Okay. Too likely to commit soon. Both those guys would be reclassifications, right? Huntley Hatfield's a junior in high school, as is Tamba, but they'd both be reclassifying to come in as graduate early, I guess.
Yeah.
Come in. Again, I don't know how much you want to do that with big men. It doesn't always the reclassification doesn't always work. Like I don't know. Now, Huntley Hatfield is the number what, 6 player in the country?
Yeah.
In his upcoming class of 2022, is that right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's really talented, and I don't know where he would rank in this year's class, you know, being a year younger. I don't know where he would rank. But, like, keep in mind that doesn't always go well. Like, that was it Devin Askew from Kentucky? He was a reclassification. He was a 5-star point guard, I believe. And he went there to Kentucky and was pretty, like, miserable and got yelled at and wasn't very good and didn't work out and was like, okay, I'm transferring. Yep. I don't guess as a... On his composite score, he was a 5-star. But he was a high 4-star, ranked number 32 in the country. So he was an elite prospect.
He transferred to Texas, didn't he?
Yep, he just announced yesterday, I believe, that he is going to Texas, which, all right.
Shocking.
That's a pretty big get for Chris Beard. But I just say that to say, like, you know, be a little careful in the reclassification. I don't know how much of an impact those guys can make immediately. Like, you know.
They need that extra year of development.
Here, right, especially as big men. Like, especially with Tamba, you know, who is a, you know, 3-star guy here in Knoxville. Like, that's going to be a little bit tougher for him. But Huntley Hatfield, you know, he's more talented. He might be able to hit the ground running. He might be able to give you something. But I don't know how much I would expect him to contribute in year one. Especially with Barnes's method of coaching freshmen. But however,
I had a listener write me in and tell me that they were both held back, so they were originally were supposed to be in this class, I guess.
So that's kind of what Hayden was talking about, that they do up in Gate City. Is that what you're talking about, where these people get held back so they could be a little bit older in high school? Is that right? So both.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's listening from Gate City that's gonna be mad about that, Hayden. I don't think I exposed them off their conversation.
It's just a matter of fact, to be honest.
Okay. All right, so maybe they'll still be so they're still technically going to be like that age. Okay.
Yeah, so that may be a little different there.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
So Tennessee's roster overhaul continues. This is a pretty big get. Jonas Adu, a 6'11" big man.
Says he can shoot?
He can shoot trees, man. Yeah. Watch the highlights. He's
good shooting touch behind the arc. Okay.
Yeah. He's out here shooting in his highlights.
Well, I mean, if Tennessee uses him as a shooter, that'd be nice. Like, I mean, like, really, you should have – it could really be pretty simple next year with an elite point guard. Like,
maybe just run a couple, nice stroke from outside.
Maybe just run a couple pick and pops with old Jonas.
Yeah.
Let Chandler get a full seam ahead with a knockdown shooter like Justin Powell kind of hanging on the wing there. It's that simple.
Ooh.
Either get Adu crashing down for the lob dunk or, you know, a little pick and pop out there, a little action. Like, you would think this 3-man game would have some opportunity, especially with a, you know, a smart basketball player like Josiah coming off the weak side. knowing where to be.
I mean, still no guarantee this guy can shoot, though. Didn't we think Handzicki was going to be a stretch-out shooter? And let's get, the guy didn't even make a single jumper, did he?
Yeah.
I think Barnes kind of neutered him on that one, but...
Maybe. Kind of hope he doesn't do that to some of these guys, too.
Let this kid do what he can do. And
that's what I'm saying. Because that's the thing. I don't want us, if he is a guy that can shoot and he is athletic, like you said, and go to the rim, like, I don't want us posting him up. Like I said, don't that was his weakness, was just back to the basket. He wasn't very good, so.
Like, Anisicki's shooting, I mean, like, he shot 36% his sophomore year at Sacred Heart on, you know, 1.7 attempts per game. Now, I will say his second year, when he started taking more, it crashed down to 25%.
Okay.
He started taking 2.5 threes per game his last year at Sacred Heart and, you know, shot 25%, 1 out of 4. So I won't say that he was like a shooter, but it did look like somebody that could maybe stretch the floor. And Tennessee didn't let him shoot any jumpers.
Right.
Outside, I believe, the first shot he took of the season. Yeah, he shot a mid-range jumper, missed it, and that was it.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if this Jonas guy can shoot at a level. Like, everyone makes their shots in their highlight videos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
And at 6'10", I can't imagine, or 6'11", I can't imagine many people in high school are being able to close out and actually bother him on many of his shots either.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know how many people are getting out there to block his shot.
Seen a couple contested like corner threes where, you know, somebody just dishing it to him quick and he's got to get it up and he's
contested how? Contested someone's close or contested like somebody can actually get up to block it?
Somebody's close. You know, like sure. You said, it's tough to
kind of the run, like, ah, that kind of contest. Yeah, like,
just, you know, he's just shooting over him, which, yeah. I mean,
which, I mean, he'll be able to do that a lot in college too, but, yeah. You know, we'll see. I just don't want to overreact to a high school tape and say this guy can shoot, but it does look like he has some touch, so that's good.
Yeah, the stroke looks good at least.
We don't see any of those, the Tama guy out there hitting threes. I ain't seen any of those highlights for him.
No. He's only averaging like 6 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, just pointing out, like, not every big man's highlight tape is built the same. So, like, the fact he's out there and showing some touch should mean that he has the ability to do it. And, of course, we know in basketball, the more people you have on the floor that can shoot, the better you are at basketball. Yeah,
and he also in his highlights does what you would hope for a 6'11 guy in high school to be doing and just dominating.
Jamming on people?
Yeah, just dominating and down low. So...
Russell went ahead and added that there are some rumblings now that Vescovi could be looking at professional options overseas. You know, we had talked about another starter transferring. To me, Vescovi going to play somewhere else in the SEC or somewhere in college basketball didn't make a lot of sense whenever, you know, he's from overseas and could, you know, go there and, like I said, make some money.
Yeah. Yeah, go make your money, man. Like,
so there could be some, or there's going to be some, you know, drastic roster turnover.
You guys care that much about Vescovi potentially leaving? I mean,
Justin Powell's going to be better than him.
That's kind of how I see it.
I mean, like, if Vescovi's going to be your backup guard off the bench, sure.
I would like him in that kind of six-man, just come off and be a scorer type, just come off and get your shots up. But
I think you can get somebody to come in from a transfer.
Yeah.
They can come in and do that.
Yeah.
And again, like, I don't even know how much we need a backup point guard. You have Bailey to kind of be your backup guard, like your backup two guard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Bailey works and becomes more of a distributor and a, you know, can handle the ball. But, like, Justin Powell, to me, is somebody that's going to be your backup point guard. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm Rick Barnes, I am staggering those minutes where that's my backup point guard. Like, whenever Chandler's off the court and we need somebody off the bench, that's going to be Powell.
Just create offense.
Yeah, and I mean, he was a really good point guard at Auburn. Like, he was able to do that. He's had games with, you know, 8-9 assists. Like, he can do that. He can handle the ball. He's an overall good offensive basketball player.
What about Fulkerson? What do you guys think? Is he more likely or less likely to return after this, after I do joining the team?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think you could easily, you know, play Fulkerson at the 4 and I do at the 5.
Right.
Which would then lead, I guess you could put, you know, you could still have Josiah at the 3, Powell at the 2, and Chandler at the 1. That could be your starting lineup. Because, I mean, I don't think Masak's going to be starting from day 1.
Yeah.
Like, he's not that elite of a prospect where you can't, like, keep him off the court. But also keep in mind, like, Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer were those elite prospects, and they didn't start from day 1. Like, neither one of those guys did. Mm-hmm. So, like, if Fulkerson, like, I don't think they're pushing Fulkerson out the door. Because they got Jonas Adu. Like, I don't think that's happening.
I just think from Fulkerson's standpoint, would you be kind of like, or really want to come back and potentially be competing with more, you know, competing with minutes for with some of these guys?
Nah, I think with Pons leaving, like, I mean, like, that's going to open up some front court minutes. Like, I don't think, I mean, for me, if it's focused, it's more like, do I think I can get back to what I was 2 years ago? Because yeah. I don't want to go through another year like I went through here. Like, now, you know, he dealt with COVID. You know, we talked about Jason Tatum dealing with that. Like, I'd imagine that had some effects on Fulkerson and his conditioning and his lift. And, you know, there's times he's getting blocked at the rim because he can't get up high enough. Like, all that might be related. Plus, I think he dealt with a nagging injury. So, if I'm Fulkerson, it comes down for me, like, A, do I still, like, want to be in school? Do I want another degree? B, do I think I can get my form back? Because last year was tough on him, man. The fans turned on him a little bit. We turned on him. I believe we got two games into the season before Hayden said he stunk.
I mean,
does that check out, though? I mean, I'm not.
That's true. He just wasn't playing with, like, the sort of aggression that he was.
No, he wasn't.
Before.
And I'm saying, but, like, I mean, like, if I'm him, I'm like, was it because I'm not that same player? Or is it because of COVID and because of injuries? Because if I'm focusing and I don't think I can go back to the guy I was my, you know, junior year, then I think I just say, goodbye, Tennessee. I love you guys. I'm going to go pursue things professionally. Like that's what I would do because I don't want to go through another year of getting yelled at and ruining my legacy here. Because he can still leave here and be very, very popular despite last season's struggles. Just a hometown kid, good personality, says the right things, never once got frustrated with his, you know, with his struggles. Good teammate. Didn't care to get benched. Like, I think Fulkerson can leave here and be really, really highly thought of overall for his career. Mm-hmm. I think if you come back and you struggle again and people are mad at you again all year and you feel like you're holding the team back, that could be bad for you. So to me, it's not about sharing my minutes because if I'm John Fulkerson, I'm like, I can start over a freshman. I can at least get my 25, 30 minutes a game in a rotation. It's just whether or not I can play. And I feel like I can play at a high SEC level anymore. This is one of the first big men that Barnes has gotten, right? That, like, you feel like can come in day one. I mean, Barnes was a 4-star, right? But Barnes was fat.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Barnes. I mean, he's still fat. That's why he can only play like 18 minutes a game at Winthrop. But again, no disrespect.
Hey. He was in the tournament.
He's still pretty good.
And he was good in his 18 minutes. Like he was sitting there getting buckets. It's just the problem was he could only play 18 minutes. Like, if he could have played 27, 28 minutes, Winthrop might have been a little bit better this year. Yeah. They might have won that tournament game. Yep. But again, even as a 4-star, I feel like he was a project. He had to go to quote-unquote fat camp.
Yeah.
Now, with Idu at 6'11", 210, like, you might have to bulk him up a little bit. But maybe not. Like, 6'11", 210, that's not tiny. Like, he doesn't... Cam, in those videos that you watched, I mean, he didn't look like a rail.
No, yeah, no, he didn't look like complete, like you said, like a rail. Like, he didn't look like the like that kid is going to Gonzaga.
Right, but that guy's the number one player in the country. I know. Like, yeah, Holmgren looks like a creative player that you just didn't bother changing the weight on because you wanted to go ahead and get started playing.
Yeah, 7'6", 100.
You wanted speed to still be up.
Yeah, I want to speed up, and I'm going to go ahead and just, let's just go ahead and start editing these shooting stats. I don't want to mess with the weight. Like, let's go ahead and play. That's how he looks. Like, and keep in mind, like, you don't have to be bulky to be a good, like, rim protector. You just gotta be tall and be able to jump.
Yeah, Kyle Alexander was never
but he put on
some good weight.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, by his junior year, I feel like he had some muscle, though. Like, I mean, he was a project, though, and that kind of goes back to my point. Like, this is one of the first guys that Barnes has recruited to play as a big man that you think this guy should come in and be able to contribute right away.
Yeah.
All right. There's your Tennessee basketball news of the day.
So does it worry you that the last 3 years we've kind of, like, whiffed on the big man in all three classes or no? You think about it.
You including this class? I don't think we're whiffing on a big man this class.
I'm talking about, like, with Corey Walker.
Yeah, no, of course it bothers me. Yeah,
and then I guess there would be Euros the year before.
Oh, yeah, of course it bothers me.
And then before that would be Burns.
I mean, that's what Barnes blames for team not being where it needs to be is a lack of post. Yeah, like, of course.
Well, who was the last? I mean, Grant and LaMarcus Aldridge, right? Those are, like, his only two good post players he's ever had. It's not like he just has had a slew of them, right, at Texas?
Tristan Thompson was good.
Okay, yeah.
Miles Turner was good his one year. Okay. I think he's had some.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he hasn't had it, you know, yeah, just Grant. I mean, Tennessee was your only true, like, post player you could actually – because, I mean, Kyle could dunk the ball. Like, I'll say Alexander was good, but I never thought you could get a bucket out of him if you needed it. You know what I mean? Like, he could catch the ball and dunk, but, like, you can't. Here you go. Here's the ball on the block. Do something for us. Like, Grant's been the only guy here at Tennessee who can do that. All right, we're off and running. Let's talk sports. Good Tennessee basketball news. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment's brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, give them a call. 865-558-8030. Been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. All right, we got some NFL news.
Yeah. Clowney's on the move.
The clown man has found a team. Hey, what a difference a year makes. Last year, Clowney was the hottest free agent. Felt like he could wait all offseason to sign, and he did. And then didn't go so well for him. At least he didn't make it to the end of the year. I don't think he would have had the same demand of teams waiting for him this time, so he's like, I better sign before the draft, force people can draft my replacement.
Yep.
He has found a team, a one-year deal, according to Mary Kay Cabot, who I believe is pretty plugged in Cleveland. She's like one of the main Cleveland reporters, right?
Yeah. Adam Schefter also kind of confirmed the money as well.
Headed to the Cleveland Browns for up to $10 million.
Yep.
So it didn't cost him much money. I'm a little surprised he got $10 million, but all right. Worth up to $10 million is pretty, you know, that's important. Like, incentives, this seems like agent talk. Say it's up to $10 million. The base, the actual pay might be a little bit lower. But
yeah, maybe down around 6 or 7. I mean,
that's what I'm thinking, with a chance to, you know, maybe there's some playoff incentives, some sack number incentives, some games played incentives. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But Jadeveon Clowney off the market. Pretty good defensive move for the Browns, right? I mean,
yeah, if he's healthy, just somebody else to take. He'll get some one-on-one matchups, you know, with Garrett being there, stuff like that. They're probably going to also take another kind of edge rusher in the draft and stuff, and they may just have a really good defensive front. So, Big Ben, better keep getting those quick passes out over there.
I don't even see this as that big of a deal. Guys had, what, 3 sacks in the last 2 years? 3 sacks? And we're still acting like this guy's that good? And it's not like he was that great in Houston. He had that, what, 1 year, 2017, where he had, I don't even know if he had double-digit sacks. I think he had like 9, 9.5 sacks, like
sacks
back-to-back years.
Always tell the whole story.
And yeah, you're probably
especially
right, Cam.
Especially if you're the only, like
pressures.
I know he had Watt in Houston, but Watt was also hurt a lot. But, like, yeah, if you're still getting pressure, you're still getting off blocks and just causing, you know, a little havoc, you don't necessarily always have to fully get to the quarterback, but...
But still, that's the main goal. For a guy like Clowney, I mean, I know he was pretty good against the run, like in Seattle, and he did other things. But still, that's the number one thing. And you getting 3 sacks in the last 2 years? Like, come on.
Yeah.
I just don't see this as significant at all.
You don't see the potential for its significance? Because I think that's important. Like, could this be a nothing? Sure. Could Clowney come out, be a shell of himself, be hurt again? Sure. But, like, to me, it's a one-year deal, and that's what I didn't really mind with the Titans last year. Like, it's a one-year deal or whatever. Sure, you can roll the salary cap money over, but go there and try to be better. I mean, the Browns got a little bit of taste of success, and they want to go out and try to win big. And I don't think you can say right now that it's not a big deal or that it couldn't be a big deal just because this guy is good. I know he only had 3 sacks in Seattle, but he was really good for Seattle, especially as the only guy on that defensive line that could do anything. And I do think if you just put him next to Myles Garrett and he's your second best defensive end, that could be a pretty big deal. They now have two really athletic defensive ends. Like, if you're trying to build a team to chase down Lamar Jackson and chase around Patrick Mahomes, like, theoretically, those are two of the defensive linemen you would want, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They both are, like you said, athletic, got the speed to at least keep up with them and at least kind of beat them.
Sure,
to the
I mean, yeah,
like that.
They're not gonna beat him in a foot race, but like they can if they got the
contain
angle on
him a little
right.
Bit,
if they got the angle on him, he's not gonna like run by them like they're standing still. Like some of these defensive linemen, it doesn't matter what angle you have, Lamar's gonna get around you. But like I don't think Clowney nor Garrett is like that. I think both those guys are, like I said, two of the guys you would want to try to stop these mobile quarterbacks. Yeah, and, of course, the Browns are dealing with one of those in their division. Maybe the best one. At least the fastest one in their division.
Yeah, so you got to keep building that kind of stuff. And you want that team speed, you know, especially up front if you're trying to get pressure on these kind of guys. So I think it could work out well. If he stays healthy and, you know, I think it just it takes a – Garrett's such a big help there, just taking pressure off him. And like I said, I think they're going to take a pass rusher too in the first, second round of the draft and have somebody else in there if it's a little athletic and, you know, take some pressure off them too. Even if, you know, Clowney needs a breather, you have three guys on like third and longs that can rush the passer pretty well. It could be pretty good defensive front in Cleveland.
Now, I will say, Draven, you are right. This could be absolutely nothing. This could be just a disappointment. Clowney still isn't making a big impact. I will say the fact that he signed in April makes me think that he realizes, like, hey, I have to go out here and try to earn this money.
Exactly.
He might get more of a motivated Jadeveon Clowney because, like, no one was really lining up to really want to talk to him.
And, like, I get the Browns are started to be a little bit better, but they also, I feel like, would kind of take anybody. Like, they that's just kind of how they do. Like, nobody wanted Odell. He traded for Odell. Like, that's just kind of, it's Cleveland a little bit.
I don't know if I'd say no one wanted Odell. That was a big addition. Odell's... Like, sure, like, he had done the party boat thing or the went out on the boat before the playoff game, but, like, outside of that, like, he hadn't burned too many bridges. I mean, sure, there's, like, the kicking of the net, like, pretty small stuff, but he was still at the point where, like, talent exceeded.
Was he not coming off an injury? Like, where he literally missed pretty much the whole season coming off an injury, a diva wide receiver.
And they gave up, what, 2 first-round picks for him? I mean, the haul there for you, like, made you show there was a market for him. They gave up, what, 2 first-round picks and Peppers. Peppers.
And that's my whole point. I feel like the Browns just kind of go for whoever, the big names. Like, Odell, he's a big name. He had the one-handed catch. He's all flashy. How's it worked out? Hell, a lot of people think Baker Mayfield's better without Odell. A lot of people make that argument. This is the same thing for me. It's just a big name who had he had the big hit at South Carolina. He had the high expectations as the top pick. Like, it's all that. It's all just the name.
Now, we'll say Odell was not coming off of it was the year before.
He
only played 4 games. He did play only 12 and 18, so he might have had like some type of situation towards the end of the season. I don't know.
So back-to-back years dealing with injuries.
Yeah, 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns, and that was the year that like Eli could barely throw the ball. So like I thought he was still coming off a pretty successful year in 18. But yeah, the year before was the one where he had basically missed the entire year. So you think Cleveland just looks at name value? They just want name value?
I think in this case, especially for Clowney. Like I said, the guy's not done anything in 2 years. I feel like we're still living off the hit at South Carolina. Are we not? Like I said, every year has been disappointing except maybe 1 year in 2017, and he didn't even have double-digit sacks.
And again, I don't think 19 was disappointing. I thought he was pretty good in Seattle. Yeah, I thought he was pretty good in Seattle. But sure, 2 years of his career, he's kind of in the reputation because, like, I mean, you know, that hit against Michigan put him in the Heisman contender, you know, made him a Heisman contender, and then he came out and was not that good his junior year.
Fighting with Spurrier pretty much the whole season, wasn't he?
Right. I mean, you know, just looking back on that Tennessee game, I mean, he got shut out really by Tiny Richardson until the last play of the game. I mean, he won it for him, but Tiny had held him in check the entire game. So he'd had a pretty disappointing junior year.
And also, like, how many other visits did he go on? How many other teams were really interested in Clowney? Like,
well, that I think is definitely a fair point because, you know, Cleveland wanted him last year. He didn't want to go there.
Yep.
They wanted him again this year, and I don't think the demand was there. Like, I mean, I don't think there's no way in hell the Titans would have given him $10 million.
No.
After last year. It didn't seem like many people had really been...
You didn't hear of any other team showing interest, yeah.
Although for like a week now, they've said this is pretty much a foregone conclusion that he was going to Cleveland.
Yeah,
they have thought that for the last week. So
they
I don't know.
Just had to get him in and you know, details and things like that.
So he might have had his mind made up from the get go. And if you're Jadeveon Clowney and you do want to put some big stats together, playing against Garrett will help you with that.
Kind of a contender are we looking at with Cleveland? Is this?
I mean, I think they're the best team in that division,
even over Baltimore.
I mean, I think so. What have been Baltimore's additions and subtractions this year? I mean, I feel like I've missed any big additions for them. I mean, I know they,
Sammy Watkins. I guess.
Yeah, I was gonna say Sammy Watkins. I mean, like they lost Ingram, but I mean, he wasn't playing for them at the end of last year. Anybody else? I mean, on the defensive side of the ball,
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
And Galway's gone, right? Like, Yannick Ngakoue's gone.
Was Judon still there?
No,
I think
Judon,
they re-signed him, didn't
no,
they?
No, Judon went to the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, like, I think Cleveland's going to be better than them. Now, again, who knows? Because Odell's going to be back.
Yeah.
If Odell goes back and him and Baker can work out and actually, like, be good together, then sure. But if he ruins Baker and Baker sucks again because Odell's back, then I guess not. That Cleveland team's pretty talented. And, again, their offensive line's good.
Mm-hmm.
Their coaching staff is good. So, I don't even look at them like, you know, 2 years ago they were such a disappointment. But, I mean, I think they got things figured out now. So, I would say that's the best team in that division.
Yeah, I was looking at the Ravens. I mean, they haven't really done anything.
Right.
Sammy Watkins was really their biggest signing.
Right.
They had like a couple offensive linemen, a guard. But
they still haven't traded Brown, right?
No.
Which maybe they will on draft night. Maybe they'll make some. They're usually really good in the draft. Like that, they build through the draft.
Yep.
And going back to the Ozzie Newsome days, I know he's no longer there, but you know they kind of continue that tradition. They had a good draft last year. But for now, yeah, I mean, I think Cleveland would be my pick to win that division. Some other NFL news. At least some more allegations on a superstar.
Uh-oh.
We'll dive into those next. Talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We've got another superstar facing charges. You guys seen this story?
I actually have not.
None of you?
No. May have.
Okay.
I can't remember what I saw.
Draven, I tell you, a superstar might be facing charges. Where does your mind go? Give me the most likely superstar to be facing charges. Deshaun Watson excluded.
Oh, I got my answer.
You got your answer? Who you got?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown? I don't think he's a superstar anymore.
Nah.
Oh, superstar.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't have called him a superstar anymore.
Mm.
This might not be a fair game.
I was about to say.
Tom Brady? No, not Tom Brady.
Oh, okay.
Not Tom Brady. Aaron Donald.
Ooh. Oh, no.
But I've guessed him.
Oh, no.
He apparently beat the hell out of somebody. There is a guy that has posted. This comes from Andy Sheenan, who is an NFL writer.
Mm-hmm.
Check to make sure who that is. Yeah. No, investigative reporter in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Of course, Aaron Donald went to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah,
he did.
Someone has filed charges or plans to file charges against him for assault. The picture has been tweeted out, and as you can imagine, the guy's right eye is looking like somebody beat the hell out of him. Mm-hmm. This guy is accusing Aaron Donald of doing it, which then begs the question of, you know, what are you arguing with Aaron Donald for, man?
Literally, my goodness.
There aren't many humans on Earth that I would want to argue with less than Aaron Donald.
I mean, have you seen the video of this guy training with knives?
Yeah.
He's literally training with knives. He's like, just straight up.
I wouldn't start it.
Dodging knives. Yeah, no.
The story around it, I guess, hasn't really been revealed just yet.
Mm-hmm.
DeVincent Spriggs intends to file criminal charges at Zone 3 Pittsburgh Police Department against Aaron Donald after an alleged assault on April 10th between 3 and 4 a.m. Sounds like they were out the club.
Yep.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it was maybe some alcohol got him gassed up into trying to fight Aaron Donald, to which I would say, DeVincent Spriggs, might be time to quit drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bold enough to try Aaron Donald. Lord. Okay. Yeah, not the guy I would go after. Wow.
I mean,
I'm sure not much will come of this.
Though. Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't the same level, obviously, as what Deshaun Watson is facing. There are criminal charges, whereas Deshaun Watson isn't facing any of those just yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is a situation where I would imagine Aaron Donald will have to turn himself into the police if he gets charged. Bail out. They'll get him for assault. He'll have to pay some money. He might get sued.
He could string out the legal process
civilly
if he really wanted to, probably. But
sure. He's got more money to wait out.
Wonder what the guy said to him. I think he's just...
Who knows? Maybe the guy's innocent. Maybe the guy's innocent. Maybe Aaron Donald just beat his ass for no reason.
Just crazy. I just... Like you said, like, why would you say anything to this guy? I mean, I know, like... no matter what shirt that guy's wearing, that dude is just literally like just popping out of it. Like the dude is absolutely ripped.
I'm leaving him alone. I'm leaving him alone. That might make me sound like a punk, but it makes me sound like somebody that can see out of my eyes. I can see.
Yeah, I'm not trying Aaron Donald. No, that's... Jeez. You could give me almost any weapon on the planet, and I still don't think I'm going to walk up to Aaron Donald confidently.
Where does he rank in terms of athletes? I guess we could go ahead and exclude the UFC fighters, because I don't want to walk up on any of the UFC fighters either. Let's be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
even the women UFC fighters, I probably don't want any issue with.
I think I'd take my chance with them over...
the guys.
Over Aaron Donald. Oh, like,
okay, yeah.
Like, maybe not... what's her name? I keep wanting to say Misha Tate, but no, that's not the right answer. Biggest star they got, the champion, the one that's won so many in a row. Nobody can touch her.
Oh, killer Ronda Rousey.
I don't even know if she killed her or not. She's called Holly Holm. What is her name? She's the biggest star. She's in the commercials. She's got the Hennessy commercials.
I know. I don't know why I'm blanking on. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, she's like, the biggest stars are so embarrassing.
Oh, my gosh.
What are we doing here?
Is it Nunes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Amanda Nunes, yeah.
Amanda Nunes. I might take my chance with, I mean, she's pretty badass, but would you rather fight her or Aaron Donald? Probably take my chances with her, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I just think there's nothing I can do to Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, even if he doesn't have, like, the technique that she does or anything, like, can you do?
I'm not going to be able to hurt him. Like, I don't think I'm going to probably be able to hurt Amanda Nunes, but I feel like, you know, at a certain point, like, maybe our strength can match up a little bit.
Yeah.
I just feel like Aaron Donald's chin's probably stronger, too.
Yeah, I don't think I can.
Because no one ever hits Nunes, so, like, she hasn't had to work on her chin. No one can ever touch her.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't think a punch for me would do much there, Donald. Yeah, he's up there.
Any basketball players?
I was thinking about
beat Aaron Donald on the list.
Man,
those big guys aren't as mobile as he is.
That's what I'm thinking.
His size and strength, like
quickness. Yeah. I mean, just how quick he is too with his hands.
And again, he's blocking knives. So yeah, if you try to punch him, chances are you're probably
you couldn't lay a punch on that guy, could you?
I mean, no, I would imagine, like, if he's blocking knobs, I mean, his handwork, you would be batting your hand away just...
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, man, yeah.
And just looking at this guy's face, he looks like he packs a pretty good punch, too.
Yeah, that probably was just, like, one and done.
Yeah, I would imagine that. I imagine that was a one and done situation.
Just one quick shot and the guy's on the ground.
Who is the baddest dude in the NBA? I don't even know.
It's a good question. In terms of actual fights, I don't know who all is out here actually fighting. I know Draymond got in trouble for smacking somebody, but he wouldn't be on my list of, like, guys.
No.
Is it, I mean, James Johnson, like, is like
he did do some UFC, didn't he?
Well, I don't know if he did any UFC, but he's like a black belt in, like, karate. I know he's like a trained fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's big. Not so much just like big and muscular as he is just like 6'7" and trained in martial arts.
What about Boogie with a little bit of a temper? Or is he too old?
No, I mean, Boogie's a big old boy. I mean, obviously. Like,
he's got a temper. He's been, you know.
I feel like, have injuries not slowed him down? Just kick his knee?
Yeah. And tempers aren't always the best thing when fighting. Yeah. You want to be calm when you're fighting. You don't want to be the hothead guy. That's how you lose.
You want to be the calm one like James Johnson.
Yeah.
The karate guy that's been trained to only strike when needed.
Yeah.
What about LeBron? You think LeBron would pack a punch?
I mean, LeBron's a big old boy obviously. I just don't know how much LeBron's had to fight. I feel like LeBron's probably been in a situation since high school, right? At least where someone has fought for him.
Yeah.
Like, he was the meal ticket for a lot of people. Surely he had some friends willing to scrap it out for him.
Yeah.
There was a... list on Barstool, they did top 10 NBA players who you'd not want to fight, and number one was Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Steven Adams, he's
a big old boy.
Big old dude as well.
Okay.
He's a big old boy. That might just be, when was this written? I'm going to guess it was written like 2017, 2018.
Yeah, it was. It was 2018.
I was going to say, it's probably like when we were at our, was that when we were as Americans at our peak Game of Thrones? And he's out here looking like a Dothraki. It's like, we're probably...
I'm out on James Johnson, though. That's my guy. He's 20-0 in his kickboxing career and does MMA. And like John said, he has
really?
Black belts and
that's
stuff.
That's what I was going to say. I knew he was like a trained fighter. Yeah. Like he's probably the one you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, that's my number one.
I've heard him talk about his fighting before.
What about little scrappy Patrick Beverly, man?
Nah.
What about? I think Beverly be playing
James
dirty,
Johnson
though.
Would sleep him.
Beverly be playing dirty, man.
I mean, if it just came down to it, I'd take my chances with Patrick Beverly.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying I could beat him up. I'm not saying that because he's still like 6'1". He's still bigger than me. I'm just saying I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
What about like the Morris twins?
Well, that's what I was going to suggest.
Those guys like look like they could whip some ass.
If you fight one of them, you have to fight both of them. Yeah. Like that's. It's going to be a handicap match. I have heard them talk about fighting, too. They said they were talking about when they were at Kansas, they had to fight the entire football team. And they were like at a party, and it was over a track girl.
Yeah, typical.
And basically they said they were just back-to-back like Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker. Like,
wow.
Said they were back-to-back just fighting people like Rush Hour. Like they said that's what they had to do at the party. So like you would have to fight both of them. So by default, they would probably be...
High on the list. Yeah.
Or if you're fighting them one at a time, like you never know when the other one's going to slip in and tag in without you knowing because they have the same exact tattoos. Which is weird.
Oh, man.
You fighting Boban? 7'3", 290 Boban?
Did you see him in John Wick? He was pretty athletic in John Wick 3.
Didn't see it. Was he good in it, though?
I mean, like, yeah, he just put like a henchman at the beginning, but he's like a big guy. Like John Wick had to fight like in the, like it was like a weapon store, I think actually. So there's all these different weapons. It's a knife store. They're getting knives out and Boban has hands that would just crush your head if he got hold of you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, be terrifying.
Out of you, yeah. But Aaron Donald is high on this list. Very high on this list. I guess. I mean, you're not gonna win any of these. I guess I'd rather James Johnson just kick me in the head one time and knock
just
me out.
Just get it over with.
Yeah, rather than Donald maybe getting a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
Treating you like a blocking dummy and throw it ragdolling you for a bit. Just kick me in the head, James Johnson. Put me down. Because I feel like as a trained martial artist, he can't like go too extreme.
Yeah, he's got morals. He's got morals.
Fight's over. Time out. You win. Or maybe you can get down and do like in the karate, you just tap the mat as soon as you get there. Show your opponent respect, like, hey, I want no parts of you.
Mm-hmm.
Donald, if you go to tap, they might think you're getting down to a 3-point stance.
Yeah, but then you're over.
And then, it's really when he turns it on.
You don't want that triggering in him. Just tap the mat, good respect. Saying that reminds me of one of my favorite boxing matches, one of the favorite boxing videos where the guy just walks in and when the bell rings, he just immediately gets out of the ring and walks off. Just gets out of the ring. Like he knew he was in trouble. He's like, this guy in the ring just walked out as the crowd's booing. He didn't care. He walked right back to the locker room. And I imagine retired from boxing. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio.
Your pay-